Thank you. Here we go. And we welcome Dave in for our typical Wednesday afternoon get-together. Well, you know, Dave, curiosity killed the cat. I'm sure PETA wouldn't like me using that reference. But sometimes, you know, if you're asking too many hard questions, well, you can find yourself in hot water. Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, you bet. And some good news for taxpayers. And again, Bob, let the listeners of the Bob McLean radio show take a bow, because this is good news. You know, so many times I come on and we talk about bad things. But,
yep.
You know, today in the State House, they did their little reorganization and they figured out who these committee chairs are going to be. And for the first time in 8 years, Brian White, who's one of the most despicable dirtbags in the State House.
Bow tie and all.
He was the budget writer in the State House.
Yep.
He was the House Ways and Means Committee chairman. Bob, the third most powerful politician in the state. And I'm glad to say, thanks to your listening audience for taking action to expose this despicable dirtbag, he's no longer in that powerful position. Now, he still keeps his office, but he is no longer in that very, very powerful position. And Bob, you know, we talked about Brian. We've been talking about Lion Brian for a while now.
Yep.
Most recently, of course, the Nerve wrote a expose report on how he uses his powerful position to personally profit, where, you know, he's got his little side hustle insurance gig that he's got, where
right.
he sells insurance to state agencies and lobbyist groups that he actually funds as chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and their budgets, their share of taxpayer dollars has skyrocketed since he took over becoming the budget writer in the House. And today, he's gone.
Well,
and it's because of pressure from your audience
and
listening that took action.
Well, let's deal first of all with that aspect of it. Using a powerful elected position for personal gain, I think a logical individual listening to that would say, wait a minute, aren't there ethics rules that would prevent that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, there is. It's called the Ethics Act, and it's very explicit. Okay, and it is. It's weak. And when I say it's weak, a lot of people ask me what that means. Well, Bob, if you or I used our position of authority to personally profit, whether it was at work or a part of a nonprofit or being a member of a board of a company,
right?
We call that embezzlement, right? Or racketeering. Those are criminal terms, but in the Ethics Act, the rule of law that governs the politicians in the State House, they call that using your elected office for personal gain, and it's weaker. But nonetheless, it's very clear, Bob, that this guy is using his position of power as the chief budget writer. He is the one that gets the first crack. Now, his cohort on the Senate side is our favorite Hugh Leatherman.
Right.
So you can imagine how this state budget skyrockets and it gets, you know, filled with beef and pork that we don't need, nor do we want. And they figure out ways to profit for themselves. And I believe Brian has been doing that for quite some time. Again, being able to fund agencies and then going to them and saying, hey, you know, I sell insurance. You know, perhaps you'd like to buy some from me.
Right.
It might be in your best interest. And of course they're going to do that. So again, great news, and this is Brian White's been there for 8 years, Bob, and just now he has become a liability. He's become a political liability to the leadership in Colombia, to
right.
the grand poobahs in Colombia.
Right.
And it's only because of folks in your listening audience, folks that have taken action, that have said enough is enough. We have got to get rid of these scumbags. And so that's the good news. Here's what's left. Here's the meat that's left on that bone.
Okay.
In order to change this permanently, because it's good to get rid of guys like Brian, and there's more of them. Leatherman is still there, right? And we know the game that he's playing with the road money.
Right.
But in order to permanently change I believe we have to have a criminal aspect to this, and that these guys have to be criminally investigated.
Well, that would only make sense.
It would, but the only way, and look, we are going to continue to do this. We're going to continue to hunt these guys down and root out that corruption. That is the role of citizens. It's the role of groups like Freedom Action Network of South Carolina. And we're going to continue to do that. We have got to do the job of the attorney general because, Bob, he's not doing it. So, again, if your folks want to step up to the plate, if you're listening and you want to figure out, hey, how can we root this out permanently? How can we get corruption out of the state house? Because we know that's why our roads are crumbling, our schools stink, and why we pay the highest utility costs in the country. We have got to take action. We've got to put pressure on Alan Wilson to investigate, to open an investigation on Brian White. You could do that very easily. Send Alan a message. Text the word crime, C-R-I-M-E, to the number 52886, crime to 52886 on your cell phone, and that will send Alan Wilson a message saying, hey, it's great that they kicked Brian White out of that powerful position, but now you need to investigate him. That's not good enough. We need to figure out if he broke the law and if he used his elected office to personally profit, because, Bob, I suspect he did. And if he did, he needs to pay the price for that in the legal system.
Now, Brian White had been appointed to this powerful job as chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee by Bobby Harrell way back in 2011, who we know is another guy who is pure as a driven snow, right? When it comes to ethics violations, so you know, one hand kind of washed the other there. But now Bobby Harrell is gone; he is not serving time in the Gray Bar Hotel as you or I would if we had played fast and loose with campaign contributions the way he did. And now Jay Lucas is the Speaker of the House. And so he has told Brian White, look, you're an embarrassment here, and so you're going to be reassigned. And so now, I guess, what is Brian White's new job? Do we know what he's going to be doing now? Is he going to be in charge of checking radar stations along the coast? Or
I suspect, Bob, that he will be a rank and file member, and I suspect this will likely be his last term in office.
Yeah.
You don't go from being king of the castle down to a plebe and enjoy it to all that much, as many of us have experienced in our lives,
sure,
in our work lives. But the bottom line is that just because Brian White leaves, and that's the good news, is that we made him such a political liability that Jay Lucas and the rest of them said, Brian, sorry, brother, you know, your days here writing the budget are over. But the reforms that come are necessary to change the system at large. I believe that only comes when these guys are criminally investigated, when they're investigated not just for ethics violations, Bob, but for actual crimes,
right,
which, again, the Ethics Act in the state is weak, but it is clear. If you use your elected office to personally profit, that is against the law. If you or I did what we think Brian White did, you bet we'd be at the Gray Bar Hotel.
You bet.
So we have got to get, you know, the Attorney General, Alan Wilson, has proven time and time again, he's dropped the ball so many times on these obvious blatant violations of the law. We've got to push him to open a criminal investigation. And you can do that if you're sitting at home on your cell phone. Just text the word crime, C-R-I-M-E, to the number 52886, crime to 52886. Send a message to Alan Wilson and, by the way, Henry McMaster, who appointed the state law enforcement division director, SLED.
Right.
Tell them to open an investigation on Brian White. We think he used his elected office for personal gain with this insurance scheme that he came up with. Let's open an investigation. Let's see. And if he did, he needs to be, he needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That is the way it should work, Bob. And that's the way that we can clean up this system once and for all. And as you pointed out rightly, get some of these criminal laws in place that don't make it so that guys like disgraced former speaker, criminal Bobby Harrell, get a slap on the wrist,
yeah,
for basically embezzlement.
And that's
what Bobby Harrell did.
And that's exactly what happens. And if you think this isn't a powerful position, we're talking about a guy, Mr. White, who had more control over how billions of tax dollars are spent than anybody else in the legislature, with the exception of one person, and that would be, of course, Hugh Leatherman.
You bet. And that's, Bob, that is a scary thing, but it's why it's so important. That's why our roads are crumbling. That's why we have electricity rate hike debacles. That's why our schools are terrible compared to the rest of the country. It's because these guys don't care about us. They only care about themselves and benefiting from their elected office. Text the word crime to 52886. Let's send a message to Alan Wilson. Get off your duff, do your job, and start investigating these guys. Let's find out if they broke the law, and if they did, they need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent. It's the only way we're going to turn this state around, Bob.
Yeah, and some teeth desperately need to be put into criminal laws affecting this, as well as the so-called ethics laws that exist in the legislature right now. Thanks, as always, Dave, for keeping a close watch on what's going on down there. It's good that we finally get some good news, and we'll see what his replacement does in his stead.
Oh,
and, of course, if you want to keep...
We've got more on him.
Excellent.
Don't worry.
That's great. We'll talk about that next week. And in the meantime, keep track of Freedom Action Network of South Carolina. Just follow you guys on Facebook, right, Dave?
That's right. Facebook.com/fan of SC, Bob. And again, if you want to take action, tell the Attorney General to start investigating stuff. Text the word crime to 52886 right on your cell phone. Send them a quick message. Tell them to start investigating these things. It needs to be done.
Yep. Always good to talk to you, Dave. Thanks for the investigative work that you guys do, keeping us up to speed on what's happening with the good old boys. 18 after 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show on Wednesday. Be right back. Welcome back. Great to have you along in the Wednesday afternoon edition of the Bobby Mack Show. In on my text line, Mr. McLean, Mr. Schwartz's allegations are like Fluor Field in the offseason. Baseless. Trust me, signed UL, Florence, South Carolina. About PETA saying expressions like bring home the bacon and beating a dead horse are no longer acceptable in polite society. Texters suggested, Bobby, have they let the cat out of the bag? How about lying like a dog? Bob, there goes Wall Street. No longer okay to say bull and bear markets. Cat got your tongue? Happy as a clam? Well, that's a fine kettle of fish. Bobby, something smells fishy in Colombia. Bobby, so if I tell a vegan, don't be a jackass, they could get triggered? Yeah. I'm so looking forward to doing it. Bob, big as a whale? Guess that's off limits, huh? Bob, slow as a snail? Bob, did you mention skinning a cat? Yeah. Another texter says, I love animals. They taste great. Bobby, I was misled to believe that people stood for people eating tasty animals. No. No, you're wrong on that one. Bob, speciesism, huh? Asinine. Or is that a slant to the, well, you know what, Jimbo and Easley? Bob, unless you're Dean Wormer from Animal House, who can say, you can't say grab the bull by the, you know what. Bobby, I'm quite offended. People should not be encouraged to waste scones. Hashtag scones lives matter. Now, Bob, here's a disclaimer for that PETA piece. Note, since animals do not understand human language, positively no animals were offended in the making of this list of idioms. From Alan R. in Spartanburg. I don't know. My dog, I think, has a pretty... My golden retriever probably had a vocabulary of about, I don't know, 60, 70 words. pretty big. To the phones we go. Steve is a leadoff batter in this hour. He is in Easley. Hi, Steve, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. With Brian White gone as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee,
right,
this might be an opportunity for people in South Carolina. It might not. Brian White got, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend on an election campaign, and usually it goes to people who head these big committees. But if we can somehow miraculously get a decent person as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, everybody out there needs to get on top of their legislators and start demanding that they start funding the local government fund and the schools according to law, because every year they write a proviso that guts that money. And so you're paying double taxes because
yes,
the state is supposed to pay for state functions that the counties and cities administer, but then they short them. So county taxes go to state expenses. And with our school system, they're shorting the school districts something like $600 per student the last time around.
Right.
And what they what that means is if your school board can't make its budget, they have to raise your local taxes. And that should not happen because the state has an obligation to do this.
And it's a constitutional obligation, by the way.
Yes. So now is the time for everybody to stand on their state legislators. If there's going to be a legislative delegation meeting, you need to go and speak up, or you at least need to get these people on the phone or email and see if we can get this problem straightened out, because they every year, like I said, they do budget provisos that get around the law year after year after year, and we're getting stuck with the bill at the local level, and most people don't know it. But
yes,
WORD listeners ought to know this, so now's the time for everybody to act.
Yeah, absolutely right. Thank you, Steve. That is a point that gets not just overlooked, just never mentioned. And the reason is, of course, the legislators in Columbia don't want you to know how they're playing fast and loose with money that's supposed to come back to these individual counties. By the way, the committee elected Representative Murrell Smith, Republican Sumter, to succeed Brian White as the chairman. Smith chairs the Budget Subcommittee for Healthcare Spending. So if you're wondering who is going to be Brian White's replacement, that is the gentleman who has been named to that role. 4:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. There was a great piece today about Robert Mueller that was at Vanity Fair. A Trump Hater's Guide to Mueller Skepticism. And it makes some great points, and I'll share part of it with you when we come back here on Wednesday. Welcome back. 4:37 now, 23 before 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Oh, thank you. Yeah, Merle Smith, the replacement for the head of Ways and Means Committee down there with the good old boys in Columbia. It's pronounced as like Merle's Inlet. Gotcha. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bobby, we have an active smoker situation on 385. Literally, someone is driving a lit barbecue smoker down 385. Not much surprises me at my advanced stage in life, but I have to admit, that one's a first. How's our ribs doing back there, Leroy? Looking good. Can you imagine all the air rushing over that smoker? It's going to turn into a blazing inferno, a towering inferno any minute. Bobby is crying over spilled milk, pushing the edge of the PETA envelope, because after all, it is an animal byproduct. That's right. No longer acceptable. Bobby, do you know why the train has stopped at Taylor's Road, just off Taylor's Main Street, been waiting 30 minutes? I do know why. They are stopped there deliberately to ruin your day. And I would say mission accomplished. Active smoker. Holy cow. Bobby, financially, in the black is good, but in the red is bad. Therefore, finances are racist. P.S. Is there such a thing as in the white or in the brown? I don't think so. Bobby, what the heck is a scone? A scone, kind of like a biscuit, only typically more flavorful. It is a Scottish delicacy. I know that from having been to numerous Scottish games. Bobby, did Brian White head up the Waste and Means Committee? Yeah, pretty much. Ay, ay, ay. Bobby, I thought they put a hold on all U.S. mail today. Apparently the postmaster in Easley did not get the memo. I've seen multiple mail trucks out today. Aha! I know the explanation for that, but Moneypenny will provide it.
I heard today that most mail service was suspended today, except for timely deliveries, important deliveries.
And bear in mind, Amazon, other web-based services that sell you junk, yeah, we'll use U.S. mail trucks for delivery. Bob, let the cat out of the bag? No. That's out. Now, I mentioned before we went to the break, there's a great piece today by T.A. Frank that was in Vanity Fair called Is This It? A Trump Hater's Guide to Mueller Skepticism. For many Robert Mueller watchers, the air these days is electric. People sense the big shoes are about to drop. Donald Trump has submitted his written answers to Mueller's questions. Paul Manafort has entered a plea agreement, but then continued to lie, at least according to Mueller. Jerome Corsi, fringe right author and personality, is vowing to go to jail for life rather than sign on to Mueller's version of events. Mueller's trying to get him to lie. Roger Stone is expecting to be indicted for something. So is Donald Trump Jr. And most significant of all to those looking for a big payoff, Michael Cohen has pleaded guilty to lying to Congress about the timeline of a deal he was trying to make to construct a 100-story Trump-branded tower in Moscow. It turns out the deal exploration continued past the time Trump had secured the Republican nomination, and Cohen and his associate, Felix Sater, a real estate promoter and one-time racketeer, had even discussed giving Vladimir Putin a $50 million penthouse in the building. This is it, people are saying. This is the big one. As for the latest revelations, did Sater and Cohen really think a president of Russia would move into a free $50 million penthouse provided by a U.S. presidential candidate? You have to wonder if these two were hitting each other on the head with bricks. He continued, certainly Trump's ethical standards are low, but if sleaziness were a crime, then many more people from our ruling class would be in jail. Further down, he says, let's take a moment to consider Mueller himself. The cut of his jib is likable. The Brooks Brothers vibe of his wardrobe is a perfect complement to his job title. But it's hard to avoid the suspicion that he's playing a political game at this point. To be fair, I'm vulnerable to confirmation bias of my own in this assessment, since about a year ago I suggested Mueller was going to drag out his investigation until 2019, when Democrats were likely to be back in charge of the House, and seeing a prediction play out can lead to unwarranted certitude. But the reports we're starting to see suggest a man who's fallen prey to the same state of mind that warped Ken Starr. Namely, disgust over the people you're investigating and a desire to justify the already sunk capital, that is, the amount of money that's been spent. Our justice system gives prosecutors a frightening amount of power as it is, and nothing tempts misuse of it quite like the belief in a narrative in the face of a disappointing witness. George Papadopoulos has told people he pleaded guilty to perjury because Mueller was threatening to prosecute him as an unregistered agent of Israel. Jerome Corsi insists that Mueller was and is threatening him with a raft of indictments unless he signed on to an untrue story of how he came to believe or know that WikiLeaks had hacked the emails of John Podesta. We don't know why Mueller feels Manafort is lying to prosecutors, but we do know that Mueller is either asking him about things that have little to do with Manafort's guilty plea, that is, acting as an unregistered agent of the Ukraine, or else asking him things that have little to do with the original purpose of Mueller's investigation, Russian conspiracy. The former would mean Mueller was tempting Manafort, deliberately or not, to make up a story to please federal prosecutors. The latter would mean Mueller was getting out on tangents and allowing his investigation, Ken Starr style, to lapse into a shape-shifting creature with few self-imposed limits. Furthermore, solitary confinement is severe punishment, and Manafort has been in it for months. No one doubts that Manafort is a liar, and everyone knows he's maneuvering for a presidential pardon. He should go to jail for his financial fraud, but that doesn't mean Mueller is proceeding with a proper sense of proportion or self-restraint. If it's any consolation to Trump haters, we can say this much. The special counsel's office is going to put together one hell of a report. It'll have less sex than Ken Starr's did, and the testimony of Michael Cohen will still guarantee a lot of great scenes, many of them certain to be immortal and embarrassing. Trump world won't fare well under a bright light. Like Starr, Mueller is also likely to include footnotes and selections that will hint at criminality, the things he suspects but can't prove, and the most ardent believers in collusion will claim vindication. But the international conspiracies will be few, and the collateral damage of the Russia scare will be extensive, stretching far beyond Trump or his circle to the country as a whole. It might hurt a president who many Americans hate, but even the president's most ardent foes should reflect on a question that will linger: was it worth it? Because these people should keep in mind, what goes around comes around. We're going to see a special prosecutor attached to every presidency going forward. 447, 13 before 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Oh, boy. 8 before 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Bobby, did you see that shameful Jen Bush flicking spitballs at Donald Trump at the funeral? No, I missed that part, unfortunately. Bobby, what Pete is talking about all sounds like a bunch of bull to me. Gotcha. Bob, the train in Taylor's pulled apart in two is why the crossing is blocked. Takes a while to recouple and proceed. Gotcha. Now, Bobby, I pulled my cooker while barbecuing a hog, shut all the vents, and it won't turn into the towering inferno from Robbie. Bobby, how about raining cats and dogs? Nope, that's out. Bob, I guess PETA is just showing there is more than one way to skin a cat. I prefer to use defur a feline. It doesn't sound quite as harsh. Bobby, that smoker is making fast food. Get it? See what he did there, Monty Penny? It's not bad. Get it? Smoker out on 85. Yeah, okay. Michael Goodwin writing at the New York Post today. He was a patriot, a hero, a genial gentleman, and a great American. You can't pick up a newspaper or go near a television without hearing leftists gush with praise for the late President George H.W. Bush. Who knew they felt this way? And you are not mistaken if the outpouring of previously unknown affection for the first President Bush sounds familiar. That's because it's almost identical to the loving send-off the same suspects gave Senator John McCain after he died in August. It all just goes to prove the Democrats and their media handmaidens really do love Republicans. When they're dead, all the more so. If when they were alive, they opposed President Trump. There were reports that both Bush and McCain voted for Hillary in 2016. See, they were good Republicans. McCain's feud went beyond the grave when it became known that he did not want President Trump at his funeral. McCain got extra love for that final bit of pettiness. Paradoxically, Bush gets extra credit because he wanted Trump at his funeral. Even though both gestures are seen as a rebuke to the current president, in this case, Bush is hailed for rising above pettiness. But there's another phony dimension in the media's praise for Bush and McCain in that both were said to epitomize a less toxic time in politics. And while it's true that politics wasn't always as vicious as it is now, and that Democrats and Republicans actually socialized frequently, the mainstream media didn't share in that bipartisan bonhomie when it came to coverage. Even then, their bias tilted left, although their double standard has reached new depths in recent years. I believe the press corps lapdog approach to Barack Obama and attack dog approach to Trump are part of why Americans have become so polarized, and I could not agree more on that. Indeed, many Trump voters explain their support for him as a reaction to left-wing press bias and the failure of other Republicans to fight back the way Trump does. The heydays of press hatred for Bush and McCain came during their presidential campaigns, long before they were saluted for their late-in-life stances against Trump. Bush 41 and McCain were declared unfit to be president. The New York Times, which last endorsed a Republican for president in 1956, backed the hapless Michael Dukakis over Bush in 88, and Bush went on to win in a landslide, picking up more than 53% of the popular vote and 426 electoral votes. 4 years later, the paper supported Bill Clinton, ripping Bush's economic management as exasperating and his positions on individual rights as infuriating. They accused him of stoking racial resentment, of going to radical extremes in supporting right to life, and said his capacity to govern has collapsed. The only time that we see the media saying nice things about Republicans, either former senators or presidential candidates, or in the case of Bush 1, presidents, is when they're gone. Stand by, because the 5 o'clock Follies, most heavily commuted hour of the Bobby Mac Show, is next.